picture the factory floor at Renton, Washington. It's massive, nearly a mile long. For decades, it's been one of the most productive aircraft manufacturing facilities on the planet. The hum of that building has been the pulse of commercial aviation. When Renton is running hard, airlines get airplanes, passengers get seats, and the whole industry moves. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about what just happened inside that building, why it matters, and why it's more complicated than the headline suggests. Boeing just opened a fourth 737 MAX assembly line. They're calling it the North Line. It sits inside that same historic Renton facility in Washington State. On paper, it's a straightforward capacity story. More lines, more airplanes, more deliveries. But if you've been watching Boeing over the last few years, you know nothing about this company is straightforward right now. So let's build the full picture. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. First, some context on how we got here. The 737 MAX has had one of the most turbulent histories in modern commercial aviation. Two fatal accidents in 2 years, a 20-month global grounding, a pandemic, a factory strike, and a door plug that blew off an Alaska Airlines flight in January of 2024 at 13,000 feet. That last one. A January 5th incident on a 737 MAX 9 at altitude over Oregon triggered a Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, safety review and a production cap that Boeing is still operating under today. The FAA capped Boeing's 737 MAX production at 38 aircraft per month, not as a suggestion, as a regulatory ceiling. Boeing had to demonstrate meaningful manufacturing quality improvements before that cap would even be revisited. Before the strike, before the door plug incident, Boeing had been targeting 50 per month. Some executives had talked about 60 plus per month as a longer-term goal. The industry needed those airplanes. Airlines had been waiting years for deliveries that kept slipping. So the gap between where Boeing was running and where it needed to be was not small. The opening of the North Line is Boeing saying something important. We believe we are on the path back. Here's what the North Line actually represents. Renton has historically run three final assembly lines for the 737 MAX. The addition of the North Line brings that to four. More physical line space means the potential for more simultaneous aircraft in various stages of completion. It doesn't automatically mean more airplanes per month rolling out the door tomorrow. Assembly lines are only as productive as the supply chain and workforce feeding them. And on both counts, Boeing has had significant work to do. Boeing has been working through serious quality control and workforce challenges for several years now. The machinists' strike in the fall of 2024 idled the Renton facility for 7 weeks. When the workers came back, production had to be carefully ramped up again. You don't just flip a switch on a complex aircraft assembly operation. The institutional knowledge, the muscle memory of a smooth production line, has to be rebuilt after a disruption like that. The supply chain has also been a major constraint. Spirit AeroSystems, the Kansas-based manufacturer that produces the fuselages for the 737 MAX, had its own well-documented quality problems that contributed directly to the door plug incident. Non-conforming work leaving Wichita and arriving at Renton created rework backlogs that slowed final assembly significantly. Boeing has been executing on a plan to reacquire Spirit AeroSystems, bringing that fuselage production back in-house. The idea is straightforward: tighter direct control over the fuselage supply chain reduces the defects and rework that have been costing Boeing time, money, and regulatory credibility. So when you look at the North Line opening, it is part of a larger system Boeing has been trying to repair simultaneously. Fix the supply chain, stabilize the workforce, rebuild quality controls at every stage, add production infrastructure. When you're confident you can actually fill it with quality work rather than rework, the FAA is watching all of this closely, and that is not a throwaway statement. The agency embedded inspectors directly inside Boeing facilities. They reviewed manufacturing data in detail. They set specific conditions on what Boeing needed to demonstrate before any production rate increases would be approved. The relationship between Boeing and its primary regulator had deteriorated to the point where trust had to be rebuilt from near zero. That process takes time. It takes demonstrated results, not plans and promises. The current 38 per month cap is the regulatory ceiling Boeing has to stay under while it proves itself. Opening a fourth line does not automatically mean Boeing can immediately push past that number. It means they are building the infrastructure to do more when regulators agree they have earned the right to do more. That distinction matters. This is where the story connects to the broader aviation ecosystem that you operate in every time you fly. If you fly commercially, the pace of 737 MAX production affects what you're flying and how much you're paying. Airlines that ordered hundreds of MAX aircraft have been operating older fleets longer than planned because deliveries have slipped years behind original contract schedules. United, American, Southwest, Alaska, and internationally carriers like Ryanair and Fly Dubai. These airlines are waiting. Some of them have been waiting so long that the aircraft they are flying now are burning more fuel per seat than the aircraft they were supposed to have received years ago. That is a real operating cost penalty. Delayed deliveries create capacity constraints. Fewer new airplanes means fewer seats, particularly on shorter domestic routes where the 737 MAX is the workhorse of the American commercial fleet. And as any pilot with an economics background will tell you, capacity constraint and rising demand produce predictable results at the ticket counter. If you're primarily in general aviation, you might wonder what any of this has to do with your world. Here's the argument, and I think it is a legitimate one. The health of the commercial aviation industry shapes the regulatory and political environment that all of us fly in. When a major manufacturer has a safety crisis of Boeing's magnitude, regulators respond across the board. The scrutiny that Boeing's quality issues brought to aviation manufacturing influenced how the FAA thinks about oversight at a systemic level. That includes aircraft certification processes that affect how new general aviation aircraft and light sport aircraft get through the approval pipeline and how quickly they reach market. When Congress and the press are focused on aviation safety because of a door blowing off a jetliner at altitude, that attention has a way of radiating outward through the entire regulatory structure. There's also the labor angle. Boeing is one of the largest employers of aerospace engineers, aviation maintenance technicians, and manufacturing workers in the country. When Boeing contracts, that talent disperses across the industry. When Boeing expands, it competes for the same workforce that general aviation shops, regional carriers, maintenance and repair organizations, and the military are all trying to recruit and retain. The North Line's opening means Boeing will be adding manufacturing workers at Renton. The aviation labor market is already tight. If you know anyone trying to hire an airframe and power plant mechanic right now, this is a data point that matters in their world. Let's talk about what the financial reality looks like underneath all of this. Boeing posted losses in the billions over the past several years. The company has been burning cash at a rate that alarmed investors, creditors, and industry analysts. Airplanes sitting in various stages of completion on the factory floor, waiting for rework, waiting for parts, waiting for regulatory sign-offs, do not generate revenue. Delivered airplanes do. Every day of delay between completion and delivery is money. Boeing is not collecting. That financial pressure is a double-edged situation. On one hand, it creates urgency to ramp production and get airplanes out the door. On the other hand, it creates exactly the kind of institutional pressure that contributed to the quality problems in the first place. The temptation to move fast, to accept work that should have been rejected, to keep the line moving when the right call is to stop it, that temptation is fed by financial pressure. Boeing is navigating a genuine tension between commercial urgency and the disciplined pace that quality manufacturing requires.
Boeing's chief executive officer, Kelly Ortberg, has been in the role since the summer of 2024. He came from Rockwell Collins with a reputation as a straight-talking manufacturing leader who understands the relationship between culture and quality. Early indications from the aviation press and industry analysts are that he has taken a measured approach, prioritizing quality and culture repair over aggressive near-term production targets. That is the right call. Rushing production is precisely how the quality problems compounded in the first place. Ortberg has been fairly direct in public statements that Boeing's recovery is a multi-year process. There is no quick fix for the kind of institutional drift that produced the conditions leading to January 5th. You have to change what people believe about their responsibility to the product. That is slow, painstaking work. The 737 MAX itself, it is worth taking a moment here to separate the manufacturing problems from the airworthiness of the airplane flying today. The MAX has been flying safely since it returned to service in late 2020. Hundreds of airlines around the world have resumed operations. Millions of passengers have flown on it. The statistical safety record since return to service has been solid. The door plug incident in January 2024 was serious and required immediate FAA action, but it did not involve a flight-critical failure that brought an airplane down. It was a quality escape from the factory that had dangerous potential, was caught by circumstances rather than design, and revealed exactly the kind of manufacturing discipline breakdown that the FAA moved to address. The original two accidents, Lion Air Flight 610 in 2018 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 in 2019, were the result of a flawed automated system called MCAS, the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, combined with training deficiencies and certification process failures. That system has been redesigned. The MAX's return to service included mandatory crew training requirements, MCAS software updates, and additional pilot alerting systems. The airplane flying today is substantively different from the airplane that was grounded. The certification process that cleared it for return to service was rigorous, including a level of congressional and public scrutiny that aviation certification rarely receives. That context matters when you hear the name 737 MAX and the instinctive unease it sometimes still produces in the traveling public. What Boeing needs and what the North Line represents a bet on is a sustained period of incident-free quality manufacturing. Every airplane delivered on schedule with no significant quality defects is a data point in the argument that the company has turned the corner. Every anomaly is a setback that feeds the opposing argument. The record builds slowly. It cannot be accelerated by press releases from a pilot's perspective. Watching how Boeing navigates the next 2 years is instructive in ways that go beyond industry news. It is a case study in what happens when institutional pressure to perform overrides a safety culture, and it is a case study in what the path back looks like. Transparent acknowledgement of failure. Regulatory accountability accepted rather than resisted. Leadership change with genuine authority to change direction. Workforce investment in both skill and culture. Deliberate rebuilding of quality systems that cannot be rushed. Those are the elements Boeing is working with. They are also the elements that every aviator has to manage at their own level. The pressure to complete a flight exists whether you're building commercial airliners in Renton or deciding whether to launch into a questionable forecast at a small field in the mountains. The institutional answer and the individual answer require the same discipline. The consequences of letting pressure override judgment are real at every scale. Boeing's North Line is good news, taken at face value. More production capacity is what the industry needs. Airlines need airplanes. Global aviation is growing. The demand is real and durable, but that capacity has to be filled with airplanes built to the standard that regulators and passengers and the pilots flying them have every right to expect. Keep an eye on when the FAA lifts that 38 per month production cap. That milestone will tell you more about Boeing's actual recovery than any announcement about a new line opening. When the FAA says Boeing has demonstrated the quality controls to support higher rates and backs that up with data rather than Boeing's assurances, that is the signal that something fundamental has changed. This story came out of Flying Magazine. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower, clear skies, and make good decisions out there.